Well, good morning. As Pastor Marcus said, yes, my name is Greg Kilgore, and I have the joy and privilege of serving as one of your local sort of missionaries, missions directors here in California. And so I bring with myself greetings from 65 other like-minded Southern Baptist churches here in Fresno County, Madera County, Mariposa County, Kings County. And we just added a church at our association meeting 2 weeks ago from Tuolumne County. So I think that's five if I counted correctly, but I am not great at math. So please let me know if I didn't count correctly. And our association basically is a network of churches based here in Central California. And so the Mid-Valley Association exists to bring churches together for Christ's kingdom. And your church, Emmanuel, is a part of that network, that family of churches that seeks to reach the Central Valley with the good news of the gospel. And so I say our association exists to bring churches together for Christ's kingdom. And we do that through four specific ways here in Central California. The first way is through church planting. So looking at areas in Central California that don't have a healthy church, that need a healthy church. And then the second way is through church revitalization. So churches that have declined for years, how can they help better reach and engage their community with the gospel? And then also church leadership development. So we do various lunches and training events for pastors and deacons all over the Central Valley that we train them. And then we also exist to encourage churches. And we do that through various ways. We have an encouragement team that calls our pastors throughout the year and lets them know that, hey, we are praying for them. They're not alone in the ministry together. And so those are sort of the four major areas and reasons why the association exists. And so it's a great joy and privilege to be able to lead in those areas. I've been at it for 2 years, so I'm no expert by any means. But I love to be able to serve Christ Church in that capacity. And I understand today is a very important day with a vote coming this afternoon. And just encourage you in that and say how thankful and grateful I am for you and continuing to partnership with Highview Bible Church. Let me just share real briefly about them. Pastor Paul and Dave, they officiated my wedding. So Paul is very instrumental in my wife Megan and I, our marriage. And so he did our premarital counseling as well. And so just praying for unity and the sense of God's leading and direction for you all this afternoon. Well, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to preach God's word to you this morning. And we have already read the text that we have in front of us from Acts chapter 11. And looking at this incredibly important key church here at Antioch. And I'm just going to read for us Acts 11. I'm going to read verse 21. And I've just asked that if you are able to, would you please stand as I read verse 21? We've already read the whole text together, but just be a reminder of what God was doing here. So Acts 11, verse 21, the word of God says this morning, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord." Thank you very much. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now, and God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your word that points us to what it means to be a healthy church. Lord, your word that reminds us of the fact that you are with us. Lord, that your goodness is constantly following after us, and that is ultimately on display in your Son, Jesus Christ, living a perfect life, dying on the cross, and rising from the dead. Lord, I pray that your blessing would be upon Emmanuel this morning and continue to be with them, guide them, and direct them with wisdom. And Lord, we pray that you would now bless the preaching of your word so that every heart might confess that Christ is Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you think is the greatest need in the world today? You know, if we were to go out and to walk the neighborhoods around us after service this afternoon, and you went door to door and you knocked on those doors and you asked people, what do you think is the greatest need in the world today? What type of answers would you get? you would get all kinds of answers, right? Maybe political answers, maybe education answers, maybe financial answers, all sorts of answers that people would have to the greatest need in the world today. However, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that ultimately our greatest need is Jesus Christ, is to know the gospel and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that we would be saved. Our society, our world around us, the greatest need in the world today is the need for Jesus. And our Central Valley community, our Central Valley society needs healthy churches that are founded on the gospel reaching their community. And that's one of the things that, as I mentioned, our family of churches, our network of churches, seeks to do. And as we dive into our text this morning from Acts chapter 11, what we're going to see is a couple of marks of a healthy church, or we could say a couple of characteristics of a healthy church. Specifically, we're going to look at three marks of a healthy church, or we say three characteristics of a healthy church. Now, I do want to be clear. The three that we're going to look at here is not all-encompassing, meaning there is more to a healthy church than just the three things that we'll see on display at Antioch here. But we're going to kind of pull out and highlight three areas in which Antioch proved to be an example for us, proved to be a great model for us, and how we can seek to do the same. So in Acts 11, 19, we see that the gospel, the church has spread the gospel all along the Mediterranean coast and now has arrived at the city called Antioch. So the Christian movement has spread all around the northern Mediterranean coast and has now reached the great city of Antioch in Syria. And so Antioch was the largest city in the Roman province of Syria. Really, it was the third largest city in the entire Roman Empire. Only Rome and Alexandria were bigger cities than Antioch. But Antioch was viewed even in Rome as a pagan city. It was a melting pot for people from all over the known world who would move there and live there. And that's quite an amazing statement, because I don't know if you've ever been to Rome before, but a couple of years ago, our family was able to go to Rome, and as you walk the cities, especially the old city of Rome, you couldn't walk somewhere without bumping into some sort of pagan idol or pagan statue. And so this city of Rome thought that Antioch was even worse than they were. That's quite an incredible statement coming from Romans. But what's going to happen here at Antioch is it's going to be an incredibly important staging point for the further deployment of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so the church, as they are being spread out through persecution, we see, as we read in verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great many people believed and turned to the Lord. If you back up to verse 20, you see that they were going around from place to place, and what were they doing? They were preaching the Lord Jesus. So that's one of the first marks of a healthy church, is that they are evangelistic, or we could say that they are intent on sharing the gospel, on preaching the Lord Jesus. So the first mark of a healthy church that we see here is that they are evangelistic, that they share the gospel. One of the characteristics of a healthy church that we see at Antioch is that they are intent on preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. They are evangelistic. What do I mean by evangelistic? That they were intent on sharing the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sharing the good news that only in Jesus Christ can salvation be found. So in other words, this church, they're not just content with meeting together and talking about various issues, as important as that may be. They're intent on living out their theological doctrines. They're intent on sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, when many people think, oh, our church needs to be more evangelistic, they think just about programs and outreach events. And there is a time and a place for that. Many churches I know today, this week, have various harvest parties where they're seeking to serve their communities and serve their neighbors. And there's a time and a place for that. But one of the things that you see here at Antioch, the church is doing, is they're not throwing a big party, but what are they doing? They are going around from house to house intent on sharing and preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what we see them doing is living their lives, going from house to house, sharing the gospel with their neighbors. And friends, this wasn't just the work of a few of the apostles or a few of professional Christians. This was the work of the entire church together. It wasn't just the work of the pastors or the deacons or the Sunday school leaders. The spread of the gospel, the spread of Christianity is about all of us being faithful witnesses wherever God has placed us. It's about us sharing that good news that life is found in Jesus Christ alone. And you know, we live in a day where many people object to evangelism, where many people object to sharing about Jesus Christ. And maybe they ask the question, well, isn't it wrong for me to impose my beliefs on other people? Well, friend, I want you to understand and know that evangelism, sharing the gospel, isn't imposing our beliefs on anybody. Because true evangelism, of true sharing the gospel, we're not actually imposing our beliefs, we're simply stating facts. Christianity is not a set of personal opinions that we then force and impose on other people. No, when we are sharing the gospel, when we are preaching the gospel, we are sharing and we are preaching facts. Facts about who Jesus is. Facts about what he has done. Facts about what God is going to do. Friends, when we are evangelizing, we're presenting and stating facts of the Christian gospel. Facts about how man and woman, in our sinfulness, we are separated from God. But facts about how God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect and sinless life. A life that none of us have lived. Facts about how Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. How he died on the cross, suffering the punishment for our sins. And facts about how Jesus didn't stay dead, but how he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And how if you trust in Jesus, if you place your faith in him, then you will be made right with God. And he no longer looks at us as sinful rebels, but now he looks at us as his very own children. Friends, despite what the world says, when we present that message, when we present that true gospel, when we share the gospel, we're not imposing our beliefs. We are sharing the facts about who Jesus is and what he has done. And how in Christ alone, our greatest need for salvation has been accomplished in Jesus Christ. And friend, if you're here this morning and you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never repented of your sins, you never turned from your sins and trusted in Jesus, friend, don't go through these doors this morning without knowing that life is found in Jesus Christ. Don't go through these doors this morning without knowing that your greatest need to be made right with God, to be put in right relationship with God, has been found in Jesus Christ alone. He is the only way of salvation. He is your only hope in life and death, and God has met that greatest need in his son, Jesus Christ, for you. So cry out to him in faith. Place your faith and your hope for salvation in Jesus Christ today. And so that's what the church at Antioch was intent on doing. They were evangelistic. They were intent on sharing the gospel. And notice, as we read earlier, what verse 21 says. You see that phrase there? It says, the hand of the Lord was with them. I think the version we read as well earlier said, the grace of the Lord was with them. This phrase here, the hand of the Lord, is actually an expression that occurs all throughout the Old Testament. But it only occurs three times in the New Testament. So what Luke, the author of Acts, is showing us here is how God is making himself known through the spreading of the gospel to unbelievers. How God is gracing sinners with saving faith. And so, friends, I want you to take courage in your evangelism. As you go and you share about Jesus Christ, you state the facts about who he is and what he has done. People are saved only by the hand of God, only by the power of God for salvation, not your human skill. And so that should give us great courage, right? That means that we don't have to have everything perfectly presented, and yet God can work miraculously and bring a sinner to saving faith as we are faithful in delivering that good news, delivering that message. And so we see one of the marks of a healthy church here in Acts at the church at Antioch is that they are evangelistic. So friends, I want to encourage you here this morning. I want to encourage you to pray. Pray expectantly for somebody in your life who doesn't know Jesus. All of us know somebody in our life who has not submitted their lives to Christ as their Lord and Savior. Pray expectantly that God would save them. And look for a way to be a faithful witness to them and how you can share and preach to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it that you can be looking for in your life that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Pray for that person and look for an opportunity to share with them. So we see here that one of the marks of a healthy church is that they are evangelistic. And then as we move now to verses 25 and 26, the second mark or characteristic of a healthy church is that they are teachable. Look with me at verse 25. It says, "So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people." In other words, what we see this church at Antioch having a desire for is they were desiring to know God's word. They were desiring to be taught God's word. They were teachable. If you skip back up to verse 23, it also says, when he went to Antioch, he saw the grace of God and he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Friends, how was the church going to remain faithful to the Lord? How were they going to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose? It was through being taught the word of God, being taught the great truths of the scriptures. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Paul, they taught the church there. Friend, are you deeply committed to learning the word of God? Are you deeply committed to diving deeper into the great truths of the scriptures? When you look back at church history and you look at back at times of great revival where many people, great amounts of people were committing their lives to Christ, they were coming to Christ, what you will see is that there is always a renewed commitment and longing for knowing and studying the word of God. And so, friend, are you deeply committed to studying God's word? What we see here is that this church at Antioch, they were marked by this great desire to study God's word together. Friends, healthy Christians grow. They grow in their knowledge and they grow in their understanding of the scriptures and how it applies to all of their lives. In fact, that was what the Apostle Peter, what he hoped for his readers when he wrote 2 Peter 3:17-18. Listen to what Peter says, for it was one of his desires for his readers, for the church. 2 Peter 3:17, he says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So friend, that was what Peter, the Apostle Peter, desired for the church, that they would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of their Savior, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friend, are you growing in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You know, some people object to that and they say, well, I'm simply not smart enough. Or they say, look, I've learned all there is to learn. When I was a pastor in Oakhurst for 8 years, and I remember one of our members there, he never came to any of our Bible studies or Sunday schools, and yet he'd been there at that church longer than I had been alive. And I asked him, I said, how come you don't come to Sunday school? That was one of our main times of gathering to study the Bible together as a church. And he turned to me and he said, well, I'm at an age where I've learned all that I can learn. And I as a young pastor, I had no idea what to say to him. I was shocked that he would admit to such a thing. But we saw what Peter would say to him. He said, no, you need to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. What would the Apostle Paul say to somebody like that? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, Paul is writing there. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter to the church. Basically, Paul, he's in Rome. He's awaiting his death there. And listen to what he says that he desires at the end of his life to see. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll read verses 11 through 13. He says, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for my ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus, and when you come to me, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and also the books, and above all, the parchments. Well, why does Paul want these books? Why does he want these parchments? Well, they are the scriptures. Is Paul just bored as he's awaiting his death there in Rome? No. He wants these scriptures because he wants to continue learning and growing in the grace and knowledge of his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, if Paul, the apostle, the greatest missionary that the church has ever seen, if he is able to continue learning, even as he knows death is just awaiting him, then we should want to grow and know more about Jesus as well. You know, it's funny about that church member that I had in Oakhurst, even though they mentioned that they had learned all they could learn. Just a couple of months later, they started to come to our men's Bible study. I think they realized sort of the error in that statement that they made. That yes, we never stop growing as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We never learn everything about the Bible that there is to learn. We need to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So this church here at Antioch, they didn't just have a desire to preach and evangelize. That wasn't the only thing they desired. They also desired to learn more about Jesus. Friends, do you love Jesus? Then you will desire to know more about him. I mentioned Pastor Paul Miku did officiated Megan and I our wedding. Well, on the day we said I do, did I know everything about my wife that I needed to know? I'll confess, no. And for those of you who are married, you realize that sometimes the things that your spouse loves and likes, that changes over time, right? Or are they the same as the day you met them? No. When you have a relationship with somebody, when you love them, you don't just say, okay, I love you, and now I know everything I need to know about you, right? Now, when you have a relationship with somebody, you continue to get to know them over the years, right? If you love them, you want to spend time with them. And the same goes for those of us who are following Jesus Christ. If we say that Christ is our Savior and Lord, we must continue to spend time with him and learn more about him through his word, the way in which he has revealed himself to us. So friends, do you love Christ? If so, then you will desire to know more about him. You will have a great desire to be taught his word. But as we continue in our text in verses 27 through 30, we're going to see a third mark or a third characteristic of a healthy church. And what we're going to see is that they are generous. They are generous and caring. Look at this generous care that they demonstrate in verses 27 through 30, this church at Antioch. It says, now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. And this took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So here we have this church at Antioch, this church who has a great desire to preach about Jesus, to be taught more about Jesus. But this also has taken root in their hearts and lives and transformed them so that they are generous and caring. You see, Antioch hears of the need of its sister church in Jerusalem. This church is going to have this great need because of famine. And what do? They act. And they're shown to be generous and caring, as it says in verse 29, that they were determined, everyone according to their ability, to give, to meet this need. They gave as they were able to help the church in Judea, to help the church in Jerusalem survive this famine. So you see what they did here? They heard that there was going to be a famine, and notice where the famine was going to take place. It wasn't just going to be in Jerusalem or in Judea, but where? It says all over the whole known world. That included where they were. That included Antioch. Now, friends, if you heard that today there was going to be a famine all over California, all over the United States, what would you do? Well, we would likely run to the grocery store and stock up on as many things as we have as possible, right? Megan and I, we lived in Kentucky for a couple years. And in the winter, every single time there was a threat of snow or ice, what did people do? They flocked to the grocery store and they would stock up on bread and milk. I remember one time we went to Walmart and on the entire bread aisle, there was one loaf of bread left. So I guess they thought they could live on bread and milk for a couple of days. But that's naturally what we as human beings do, right? We hear of a need and we think first of ourselves. But here, the church at Antioch, what we see them doing is not stockpiling and hoarding things from themselves, but what do? They send relief to the church in Jerusalem. Well, what a beautiful picture of generosity that we see here. And you know, your church, as part of the Southern Baptist Convention, your generosity, you don't just stockpile and hoard heaps of wealth here, right? No, you support missionaries all over the world. Through your generosity, your church's sacrificial giving, you support missions work, not just here in California, but all over the world. So that our International Missions Board actually has 3,600 missionaries serving all over the world today. Because of churches like yours, and because of your generosity and your gratitude and the great care that you are showing all over the world. That's one of the beautiful things about being a part of this network of churches, is that we can support missions work, not just here, and do missions work, not just here, but all over the world. So I just want to thank you, Emmanuel, for your generosity and your sacrificial giving of how we can support missions work all over the world. And one of the great things about our missions board is that they take really good care of their missionaries. Now, I'm not going to say that our missionaries have great salaries or anything like that, but their needs are met. A couple months ago, I met a missionary to another country, and they weren't serving with our missions board. And they told me that they were here in the United States for 10 days, and they were speaking at 30 different churches in order to raise funds for their ministry. Well, our missionaries, when they come back from the field, they don't have to go on a crazy speaking circuit and wear themselves out. No, they can come home, they can rest, and they can be cared for and re-energized to be sent back out because of generosity like your church here at Emmanuel. That's a great thing about being a part of our family of churches. And so this church here at Antioch was generous. They send relief to this church in Jerusalem. And this is incredibly important because what we have here, don't miss this. what we have here at Antioch is we have a Gentile church in Antioch sending support to a mostly Jewish church in Jerusalem. So in other words, the relief they are sending was crossing not just geographical boundaries, but also ethnic boundaries as well. Maybe for some people that doesn't seem like a big deal, but for them this was huge because it shows that the gospel knows no boundaries. The good news of Jesus Christ crosses every man-made boundary that we can think of. And so here we see this incredibly important church at Antioch, one that's going to be a staging point for the gospel to head to the ends of the earth. And what we've seen is they've been marked by these three healthy characteristics, these three healthy marks. They have a desire for evangelism. They have a desire to be taught the word of God. And they have a desire to be generous to other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So friends, what is the greatest need in the world today? As we look at the world around us, we see the need is great, right? There are countless people around us who do not know Jesus Christ, who are destined for eternity in hell because they have not repented of their sins and placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, the greatest need in the world today is Jesus Christ. And the need is great. But friends, our God is greater. And we are in this together. So let's continue to be a faithful witness wherever God has planted you. Continue to dive deeper into God's word and study it and grow in your love and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And seek to continue to be generous to one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the life that's found in him alone. Lord, I pray if there are any here today who have not trusted in Jesus Christ, Lord, they wouldn't walk through these doors without knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. May you convict them of their sin and send your Holy Spirit upon them to bring life to where there was only death. Father, I pray for your church here at Emmanuel that they would continue to be a faithful church and a faithful light and gospel outpost in this community that you have placed them. That they would be marked by a love to share the gospel. They would continue to be marked by a love to study your word and be marked by a great characteristic of generosity towards one another and towards their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank you this can be done through your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.